Today is Sabbath day. It's July 29, 2023, last Sabbath of the month. So, yeah, it's Q&A. And we're on number 510. The question that was presented to me in email was, or YouTube, or sometimes just a thought, you know, my own thought, like, somebody asked me this a while ago. I think I'll, because I love topical study. You know, it's just fun. I mean, I still do regular study. Don't get me wrong. You got to do regular Bible study every day. But every now and then, I like to jump in and just say, well, what does the Lord say about this? Or what does he say about that? And that really helps. And it's a blessing. So anyway, this is question number 510. It says, the latter days mentioned in Hosea. Well, I'm just going to put a question mark there and then put save it. And the email, YouTube, thought, whatever, is, let me put R, A-R-E instead of S, because I want to fix the grammar here for him. Are the latter days in Hosea chapter 3, verse 5, speaking of back then or now? And the answer is both. And I can end it there, but you know me, I'm not going to do that. Hosea chapter 3, verse 5 is the jumping off point here. Hosea chapter 3, verse 5. Let me get some water. Oh, thank you, Sean. Brother Sean. I have a tendency to forget to say brother or sister. Or even like with, people call me brother. It's just like with Pastor Alvin. I call him Brother Alvin. Or like Pastor Sidney or Pastor Gede. Or Giddy or Gede. I don't know how you guys pronounce it. You know who I mean. Call him brother or call him pastor, you know. Anyway. Hosea chapter 3, verse 5 is where it's found. It says, afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Okay? By the way, if one knows that the obedient Christians of today are in fact the children of Israel, many such questions would never come to mind. Okay? Because they know. Especially when you look at David being mentioned here, you know, because he's dead and gone, if I'm not mistaken, right, because Hosea. Yeah, I'm thinking David's already sleeping. And so I'm not good at chronological stuff. And I kind of prefer that way when I go into prophetic study, because when you look in Revelation, for example, and the chronology of it is sometimes the Lord is talking, and you know it's a prophetic event of this year or this one year in the past or the near future. And then the next chapter, he's back 2,000 years or he's up 1,000 years. I mean, it's the chronology is kind of like all over the place, and that makes you study deeper. Sometimes, you know, it's not always like that in Revelation, but it is. It jumps around. It's kind of like looking at a map, and the Lord does this a lot. You can see in Genesis, as a matter of fact, when he created Adam and Eve. All right, but and I always use the analogy of the map. Because for those of you that live on GPS, you don't know what a map is, do you? Because when we were growing up, you know, Fran and I both know how to use maps. And because that's what you used. And you'd see people pulled over, I don't know how many times when I was a teenager, and especially, you know, people from a different state. Like if the guy was pulled over on the side of the road and I see a different plate, like from a different state, I'm wondering, is he looking at a map? Because you get lost and you use the maps. And you got to find crossroads, and then you could find out where you're at on the map by looking at the crossroads. That can take a long time, hours, because it's kind of hard to figure out. Those maps are huge, and those roads are really tiny. But the reason I bring it up is because the Lord will repeat some things, because he's going to go into a little bit more detail. And so when you look at the map of Illinois, like from the 1970s, I think they still do it today. You look at the map of Illinois, and on the top right corner, because I always had all these maps inside my cars, whatever car I owned. I would always have maps. Everybody always had maps, because they were cheap, you know, like 5 cents, and sometimes they were free. Like if you go to rest stations, they were free. And so, now they're free. They weren't back then. And so the top right corner of the Illinois map was another map of the city of Chicago. And it's the same map. You could take that city and shrink it down and put it right on the original map, but no, it's emphasizing the city of Chicago because it's the highlight of Illinois, if you will. Actually, it's the dark light of Illinois, if you think about it, because of the politics that spew from that area are just disgusting. And so it's, the Lord does the same thing where he discusses all that he created. Then he goes into a little bit more detail in regards to Adam and Eve, right? And so if you're new to the truth and you're an obedient Christian and you understand a thing about Israel, but if you want a little bit more meat on it, let me put a link in the room here. Let me pull it out of the, I can just say it. It's easier because it's not a big URL. It's just remnantofgod.org/Israel.htm. I did a video on it too. It's it more or less explains who Israel is today, and it ain't the Jews, unless of course they're messianic. If they're messianic, then they're part of our number because they believe in the Messiah. That's why they call themselves messianic Jews. But anyway, the term in the latter days here mentioned have to do with both the days when Jesus came as Messiah 2,000 years ago, as well as when his truth moves many to repentance during the loud cry near his return. For what happened 2,000 years ago is seen as the latter days, just as much as these last days are due to the timing of creation and the Lord's return. You got to go, you just can't look at the forest for the one tree. You got to see the big picture here. When you see the term end of days and stuff like that, you can literally see the end of days beginning at the time that Jesus visited us. And there's a reason for that, because biblical fact is only 6,000 years is the time allotted in prophecy for the great controversy between Christ and Satan to be played out on planet Earth. 6,000 years, that's it. And the 7,000th year, which is going to happen, it starts at plague one, seven, is when the land goes fallow. And you could see the prophetic whisper as well as the doctrinal whisper in regards to how the Jews back then were told to leave their land fallow every seventh year. Like they would till the fields and plant the crops for six straight years and then don't touch it for a whole year. Because they didn't use bone meal like they do out here or limestone dust or have crop dusters come in and fly all over the place like they did here last week. What they do is just let the land lay there and let it rejuvenate. The rain brings it all, the fertilizer, not all of it, but the rain will bring fertilizer to replenish the nutrients in the soil. The birds will fly over and, you know, do their business and go to the bathroom all over the land. You got little critters and insects and stuff all over inside the land dying as well as living and going to the bathroom. And so for a whole year, the land was allowed to lay fallow. Well, it's going to happen again at the end of the, play seven. It's going to land, the whole planet is going to lay fallow, but it's going to be 1,000 years. And so again, the basic math dictates that there's only 6,000 years allotted for life on Earth before the second coming. And the basic math dictates that 4,000 years after Eden, Christ came as Messiah unto the Jews. And so the planet was already in the autumn of its time when it comes to 6,000 years. It was in its latter years. It was in its last days. Hence the reason Hosea called the latter days in the prophecy. And we call it latter days today. But Paul stated in Romans 13:11, and he says this, Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed. Think about that. I mean, 2,000 years ago, Paul knew the return of Christ was closer than most realized. At that time, the planet was 4,000 years old. And we know, due to the prophecies and the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, we know that there would be a little less than 2,000 years left from Paul's day unto the return of Christ. And so, because Paul was already working his way into the last 2,000 years, right? Because that last 2,000 years obviously began at the ascension, when Christ, resurrected and went back home. And so, as Paul said, for now is our salvation nearer than we believe. But check this out. 2,000 years was the span of time from Eden to Noah. Ever notice that? That planet, everybody died except for Noah and his family. All right. 2,000 years from Noah to Christ. And then 2,000 years from Christ to his return. That's 6,000 years. That's what's going on now. I mean, I believe today's many false prophets that Jesus warned us about in Matthew 24:11 use the latter days reference here in Hosea to declare all the non-believing Jews that they still declare to be chosen and blessed, you know, even to this day, will return to the land of Israel and then convert unto Christ as a major sign to all the world. But two problems arise here. And they're going to do it, but it's going to be fake Christ, okay? They're going to do it. We know that. But there's two major problems that are going to rise up here. Number one, a remnant of the Jews have already begun to convert and accept Christ as Savior as we speak. I know some Messianics. As a matter of fact, one of them emails me on a regular basis. Not often, but on a regular basis. When Antichrist comes, all the Jews that didn't convert will declare Antichrist as Messiah, in unison with all the apostate Christian leaders and their flocks, because the Pope's going to be standing there as the ecumenical leader anyway, the moral authority on earth. Yeah, I did a newsletter, I had a video about that. And so, because that's what he's declaring himself now, moral authority. The many false prophets on the pulpits and political lecterns, they keep on declaring that the Jews are the chosen ones for a reason. But the Bible's clear that the chosen ones of today that are called Israel by God are only and specifically obedient Christians, Sabbath-keeping Christians, because that's what the term obedient means. There's a lot of Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 type of Christians out there that obey the Bible the way they want to obey it, but they still want to be called Christians to take away their shame. We know what it says in Isaiah. And so, yes, some of these Christians will be Jewish by birth, you know, the Messianics, but not all. The four horns on the altar of burnt offerings, as well as the altar of incense, confirms this hands down. Because they point north, south, east, and west. This is for everyone. And so when Satan appears on earth in the coming days, claiming to be the Messiah, and by the way, the Jews are literally waiting for this, and have literally tripped up their own. This kind of reminds me, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. Remember when they were saying that, when the... you know, they were wanting Jesus crucified and all that stuff. I was 12. That's right, because it was 1967. The war just ended. The 1967 war in Israel or whatever. And a reporter, and I'm standing because my dad lived on the news, right? Whenever my dad was home, the news was on. And this is back in the day when everybody had black and white TVs, at least most of us. We did. The TV went off. I think it was 11 o'clock or midnight. You had that test pattern, and then it would just go like snow all night until 6 a.m. or something like that. And then the cartoons would come on. That was where I would hang out. But I happened to be standing there one day, and I saw, and I know I'm standing because I was standing there looking at the TV, and my dad was watching the news. And it's just like I'm right there. It's just photographic. It's really amazing how the Lord has allowed me to remember certain things like that. I'm standing and I see this reporter walk up to a Jew, and he's got the phylactery and everything on. I mean, he's got the black robes, and he's got the phylactery, that black box sticking out of his forehead. He's covered in, you know, the locks on the side of the head, and he's totally Orthodox Jew, totally, cover to cover. And the reporter comes up to him with the microphone in hand, and he asks him, how do you guys handle this? Ever since Solomon died, I mean, but actually, I think he went back to David. He says, ever since David, you guys have been at war. Every time you turn around, you're dealing with war. Always war, 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 always dealing with it. How do you handle it? And then he puts the mic to the Pharisee-looking guy, because I'm pretty sure he was a Pharisee. I can't remember everything he said. I just remember the last sentence. That's all I need to remember, because he said, if Antichrist was to appear and offer us peace, we would follow him. And if I can find that video, I'll put it on my site, make a video about it and everything, because some people may think I'm yanking their chain when he literally said that on camera, because I saw him say it and heard him say it. And the reason he didn't have any problem saying it, because they hate Christ. He says, even if this guy is the ultimate Antichrist, because the Jews are the ultimate Antichrist, if Antichrist offers us peace, we'll follow him. And they've been doing that since 1968 with the Club of Rome. In fact, the Jews started keeping Sunday holy, what was it, 2013 or 2012, I think. I got stuff on the site about it. And then And I says, yeah, there's their final fall. As soon as they show that they'll bow to Rome and keep Sunday holy, and so they got two Sabbaths every week now. You know, they call the Sunday one for the family and all this other stuff. Watch what happens. Just watch what happens. They've shown their weak points. They show they're going to break God's law. They're going to declare Sabbath on Sunday. And the Pope's next move is to get them to break the real Sabbath. And within 1 or 2 years, I think it was, and again, I got it on the site, they actually made it law in Tel Aviv that you can break the true Sabbath, the seventh-day Sabbath. You can buy and sell on Sabbath now in Tel Aviv. And so, yeah, it's a done deal. And so when Satan appears on earth in the coming days, claiming to be Messiah, and the tens of millions of unconverted Jews clamor to his side, all the lukewarm Christians, the Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 types, all of them who trust their apostate pastors that fabricated many prophetic and doctrinal lies regarding everything from the secret rapture to the non-believing Jews being guaranteed salvation simply because they're born a Jew, they're all going to join with them, thinking the final sign of the end has come and Satan really is Messiah, even though they don't know he's Satan, because the pastors kept saying Israel will return and be saved en masse. And then they'll probably use Hosea chapter 3, verse 5, or any part of Hosea, especially if you get to the bottom part. Or could that be chapter? Yeah, I think it's chapter 3, verse 22, where he says, you know, those who are not my children are now my children. But anyway, since that time, it appears that this is exactly what just happened in their spiritually confused minds. The lukewarm Christian will truly believe that Satan is Jesus Christ incarnate when this day comes. I mean, the biblical reality here is this. In the latter days, when the prophesied loud cry goes forth, both Jews and Gentiles will come to know the real Jesus as Lord and be one with the obedient remnant that is already called Israel. It will not be all the Jews, like I said a minute ago, any more than it'll be all the Christians that convert. Because the many false prophets continue to claim that, you know, that the fake Jesus is the real Jesus. Or our message is bogus. So, but because billions, and I mean billions, this is going to be, because it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. Planet was 2,000 years old then. There could have been billions. We don't know. But there's only 8 people on the ark. There's probably millions. Not that some people is doing the math on that, the population statistic thing. But because billions will appear to convert to Christ due to Satan appearing and acting like he's Christ, using hypnotic glory, you know, like mesmerism and hypnotism, most will assume their apostate pastors were 100% correct. But as prophesied in Revelation 12:17, only the remnant of her seed that greatly angers the devil due to our obedient faith will be spared God's wrath and the plagues. Just as there will only be an obedient remnant from the Christian churches that escaped apostasy are to be saved in the latter days as per Revelation 18, you know, verses 1 to 5, or, you know, especially verse 4, which says, come out of her, my people. I mean, this also means only obedient remnant number of the Jews that escaped the apostasy of Jacob will be saved as well, as well as the Christians. And I only use the name Jacob here as a symbol unto his sinfulness before he was blessed and called Israel. For his faith was real on the very morning the Lord blessed him as they wrestled, if you recall. I mean, historic fact is, the Jews that were once blessed to be called the Israel of God clearly went back to the worldly ways of Jacob before his conversion. That's them now. In fact, notice these prophetic statements also found in Hosea. And I'll put them in the room for you, Brother Sean, because it's Hosea chapter 1, verse 9, 5, verse 5, 6, verse 8, verse 8, and then 2 to 4, and then 9 to 15. I'm going to see if I can just get them all in there. I did like a compilation of verses to show what's going on here. I was jumping all over. I'm still in Hosea in some of my private studies. And so again, Hosea chapter 1 verse 9, chapter 5 verse 5, and 6 verse 6, chapter 8 verses 2 to 4, chapter 9 verses 15 to 17 says this. Then said God, call his name Loami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. And the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them. They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. I mean, replacement theology is all over the place in Hosea. But anyway, it goes on. Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. Israel has cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. And boy, has he been pursued. I mean, they've been at war for who knows how long. They're still at war. They're throwing scuds over. I don't know when the last time they did it, but, you know, they're still at war now. And then it goes on to say here that they have set up kings, but not by me. In other words, they weren't ordained. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them. For the wickedness of their doings, I will drive them out of mine house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. Ephraim is smitten. Their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. Yea, though they bring forth, yet will I slay even the beloved fruit of their womb. My God will cast them away because they did not hearken unto him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations. Now, to this day, most of the tribes cannot be identified in any specific location, the tribes of Israel. The Jews are now in every nation on earth. In fact, many have no idea that they may have Jewish bloodlines. My wife and I found out recently, we do have Jewish bloodlines from our, you know, with our parents, you know, like where they were from. And that, like, we have blood from the tribe of Levi. And so, intermarriage and constant wandering has allowed for this prophecy to be fulfilled in a big way. And the fact that the Lord speaks through Hosea, something he plans to repeat later, further confirms his decision was made. Only those that declare him Messiah will be called Israel. And so what did Hosea say? What did Hosea say that Jesus echoes later? I mean, I just read Hosea 9:16 that he said, Ephraim is smitten, their root is dried up, they shall bear no fruit. When coming upon a fig tree that had no fruit, Jesus said in Mark 11:14, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. As we know, the fig tree is the prophetic symbol for Israel. This is why it's so amazing and important that if you study prophetic symbolism, and this is why I did that study, it took a couple of years or more, and the Revelation page on the website where I show every definition, and I even underline where the definition is in each and every verse for every symbol in the book of Revelation. The reason that's important is if you don't know what the fig tree means in this context, then you don't know Israel's being mentioned here when he mentions fig tree. And then when you look at what Jesus says here about the fig tree and Hosea says about Israel, it just locks it in. And you have a new understanding of something you never knew was there. And so, as we know, the fig tree is the prophetic symbol for Israel. And to further lock it down, it is written in Hosea 2:23. I thought it was 3:23. It's 2:23. That the Lord said, through Hosea, and I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them that were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God. That's us, brothers and sisters. You know, when all the obedient people of God, be they Jew, Gentile, or whatever, it's either Jew or Gentile, when they all finally step up into New Jerusalem, better yet, now check this out. It's all said and done. Plagues are done. We're ascending home. We're about to step into the city, you know, a week later. And it says in Revelation 21, verse 3, that we shall all hear a great voice out of heaven, saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now notice what was declared in 1914 in the Review and Herald for all to read. Let me see how much. Oh, this is huge. It's four paragraphs. And so I'm just going to put in two paragraphs at a time here. Give me a minute. Okay, good. It's fit. So it says this, in the last days of Earth's history, God's covenant with his commandment-keeping people is to be renewed. And then she quotes from the Lord's word, and it says, in that day I will make a covenant for I'll make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and I will make them to lie down safely, and I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I'll betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And again, going on, this is actually Hosea chapter 2, verses 14 to 23 that I'm reading here, but it's right there on your screen, so John doesn't have to put it in again. And it says, and it shall come to pass in that day I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. Boy, I have a big old study on that, just hearing the heavens or hearing the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will show her unto me in the earth. Boy, that Jezreel thing, that took me 3 or 4 days to figure that one out. But, and I will show her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that hath not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God. Now let me give you the next two paragraphs. And again, this is Review and Herald, February 26, 1914. Now this is paragraph 9 and 11. We just read 8 and 9. So this is chapter paragraph 9 and 11. Of the Review and Herald, February 26, 1914. It says, in that day, the remnant of Israel and such as escaped out of the house of Jacob shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. And she's obviously quoting Isaiah 10:20. And then she says, from additional scripture, the book's like Revelation 14, it says, in every nation and kindred and tongue and people, there will be those who will gladly respond to the message. Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of judgment has come. Yeah, that's Revelation 14 for sure. They will turn from every idol that binds them to this earth and will worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. You know, that's more or less echoing commandment number 4, you know, about calling him creator. It says they will free themselves from every entanglement and will stand before the world as monuments of God's mercy, obedient to every divine requirement. They will be recognized by angels and by men as those that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And then it goes on from Amos, chapter 9, which is still Review and Herald, so she's just going to read Amos. It says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed. And the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof, and they shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord God. The land spoken here by the prophet Amos is in fact the future eternal land of Israel proper on earth after the 1,000 years, and wherein none of us can be pulled out of that land due to sin, because it's done. Nahum chapter 1, I think it's verse 9. Sin's not going to allow to be repeated. It's done. This is a prophetic whisper in regards to that land. And yeah, we're going to have the mansions in the city, obviously. But go to my heaven page and look at all the verses. Look at all the things we're also going to be doing. One of which is building additional homes somewhere else. And then having gardens and all this other stuff. And no one can pull us out of that land because we're not committing sin. Every entanglement, brothers and sisters, every entanglement has to be put down. Every sin has to be overcome. Every sin. Because in New Jerusalem, it's just not there. You got to be a citizen now before you can even get the latter rain. You got to be a citizen of Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, spiritually before the latter rain can even fall on you. Because if you haven't overcome sin, he's going to look at you and says, you're not going to use this additional blessing from the Holy Spirit, this refreshing of the latter rain. You're not going to use it properly. If you have some, if you're allowing the devil any kind of toehold anywhere. This massive and long prophesied latter days that Hosea is talking about here, it's a latter day acceptance of Jesus as the true Lord by the Christians and then as the long awaited Messiah by the Jews. And it has already begun. That long prophesied latter day acceptance has begun around 1843 with angels number 1 and 2. You know, Revelation 14, what I just read. That has already begun. This is to be especially seen during the loud cry, by the way, because many obedient souls are going to finally come to accept Jesus as Lord, Savior and King, who then keep his law. The reason I see it this way is because of what Sister White said in the Review and Herald quote I just shared. She said two things that stand out here. Number one, she said, it's still on your screen there, the remnant of Israel, as such, are escaped of the house of Jacob, shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. And of course, he's echoing Isaiah 10:20. From every nation and kindred and tongue and people, there will be those who will gladly respond to the message. So we're going to have some smiles during that loud cry. And then she finishes this one excerpt that I pulled where it says, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of judgment has come. She's talking about the investigative judgment that began in her day. We all know what happened on October 22nd, 1844. She's talking about it here. To be from every nation, kindred, and tongue, or nation, confirms it's not just the Jews that come to Christ at this time. The term kindred and tongue is obvious here as well. Kindred has to do with race, clan, or tribe, according to Strong's, from the Greek, number 5443. And the word tongue, as it's used here, has to do with their language, which is, again, Strong's from the Greek, 1100. The reference to fearing God due to his judgment coming, has to do with the start of the investigative judgment that we all now reside under. And that's something that really irks, especially the Sunday-keeping preachers, because they want a judgment day. They want to work their way up to that. They don't want to walk through their entire lifetime being judged. Because they can't understand how they can overcome. To them, it's impossible. They forget the verse that Jesus said, it's impossible for man, but it's possible for him to do it for us, to help us to do it, rather. And then number two, she also said this, they will free themselves from every entanglement and will stand before the world as monuments of God's mercy, obedient to every divine requirement. They will be recognized by angels and by men as those that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And that's Revelation 14, verses 6. Revelation 14, verses 6 to 7 is the message of angel number 1 that declares judgment has begun. The referring to keeping the commandments of God while in the faith of Jesus that Revelation 14, 12 speaks of is the end result of the final message of angel number 3. And amen to that. Okay, so question number 511. Now, this one isn't as involved. I should be able to get through this one rather quickly. It says, what other prophecies have yet to be fulfilled? And I kind of, this is what he says, and I got to make a special note to this. This is a brother in the faith, and he's from a different country, if I recall correctly, and way on the other side of the planet. He's sleeping when we're up, kind of a thing, I think. But he says in the email, he goes, thank you so much for the 3 blog posts on prophecies fulfilled, other than the buy and sell, the debt decree, the man of sin deceiving the whole world, the return of Christ, and the plagues of Revelation. What other prophecies have yet to be fulfilled? I have so many friends who need to be shaken out of their slumber. And before sharing, I want to make a special note that since answering this email, I noticed, because I like to take the emails and I store them in a Q&A folder in my email software, right? And then I'll share it with my brothers and my sisters. And I go, before I share it with you all, I look for typos. Because I know I'm still going to ad lib, but I always look for typos. But I notice I needed to mention a few more things. And so if you're listening, my brother, Because I know either he's going to be listening now, I doubt it, because he might be sleeping, or he'll hear it again on WTPR, or you just go to the Q&A page on the website, and he'll see his questions there as number 511. So if you're listening, here's the update. And I more or less just have to say that you're more or less listing the basic prophetic signposts yet to fulfill. I mean, that's what we all know. All that's needed to enforce the mark is right now in place. The infrastructure is there. It's just a matter of time. They wanted to start enforcing the mark using climate change in 2027, as we all know, but since mankind doesn't know the day or the hour, their plans to set the date has failed so far, wherein the Lord prevented their plans for that year, and they now seem to be saying they were going to enforce it in 2028. However, I haven't gotten a lockdown statement from the media in that respect, and that's why I haven't made a video yet on it. But it's clear they stopped talking about 2027. It's kind of like a hot potato. They just dropped it. They ain't stopped talking about 2030, though. Well, they're not going to stop talking about 2030, and there's a reason for that. And I have a video all about 2030. You want to, you know, because they're setting that date. It has to do with something that's going to happen in nature in 2030. So, and the Satan knows all about that. He knows about Plague 7, too. So anyway, off the top of my head, you know, I see that a few prophecies that must be fulfilled so as to allow Satan an easier way to enforce his mark would be a cashless society, an increase in hating Christians. Yeah, I know, they hate us like crazy now, but yeah, it's going to get a lot worse. An increase in calamities that Rome will use to demand religious laws. Now, did you just hear what the Roman Catholic leader of the United Nations just said the other day? It's no longer global warming. It's global boiling. So, you know, they're going to step it up now because we know they're going to use climate change to enforce Sunday laws. We know this. We've been telling people this for 25 years, maybe 27. So they're going to use it to demand religious laws to supposedly stop the calamities when, in fact, as we know, all that's happening has nothing at all to do with climate change and everything to do with the final signs of Christ's return. So they got to hide that. They got to hide that part. They're going to put it on something else. It's just like all those Bible verses that are missing in the NIV, the Douay Rheims, the NASB, and all the other bogus Bibles, or the NLT. It's just crazy. And so they can pass a billion religious laws, and they're not going to stop what's already started happening. And they know this, though, but they don't want the people to know it. You know, especially when it gets insane during the plagues. It's going to go, especially, could you imagine how crazy it's going to get when Plague 1 hits? You know, God, I mean, it's going to get pretty bad before Plague 1 hits, obviously, because they're going to be so upset with us. They're going to say, okay, it's bad enough that we, you know, we stopped these crazy Christians, these Sabbath-keeping Christians that gone out, that we went out in a loud cry. They have no clue as to what happened. They're just saying, oh, it's a bogus revival or something. It's a worldwide cult or something, right? They're going to come up with some crazy thing to say. And they're going to say, but these people just ain't shutting up. We stopped them from buying and selling, and they ain't shutting up. They're doing the exact same Peter, John, and James said to the Pharisees when they told them to stop talking about Jesus in Acts chapter 5. He says, well, yeah, to obey God rather than men, right? That's Acts 5:29. And so we're not shutting up. And so what they figure is we got to kill them. And that's Plague 1. When they pass that bill, is actually when the killing stops, because they'll be killing Christians before Plague 1. They're doing it now to the tune of about 200,000 a year using the Muslims. The Vatican has been using the Muslims the exact same way he used Hitler. Same thing. Same killing is still going on. And so I even got videos and pictures of the Muslims doing the Roman salute of Hitler, which is a Roman soldier salute that Hitler, you know, with the arm outstretched. I got pictures, and those videos were pulled by YouTube immediately because it's proof. The Muslims that kill Christians are doing it for the Pope in the exact same way the Hitler was killing the Jews and the Christians for the Pope. Pope, you know, Pius, he's so high and mighty. Pius was his Pope, Hitler's Pope. So anyway, going on, we have to take, when the plagues get really, it's going to get insane when the plagues hit. We also have to understand that the global ID, which, by the way, was just leapfrogged in a massive way last month on June 23rd. I don't know if anybody heard about that, but the law was passed in a global manner. So the one world government's here. It's been here since 1968. It's called the Club of Rome. I got a page all about it, a video about it. And yeah, it's already been here. It's just been on paper. They're not letting the people know, but now they are. Remember when George W. Bush Sr. or George Bush Sr. kept saying, New World Order, New World Order. He said it like 15 times in one speech. And yeah, they've been working on this for decades, and that's what's, it's here. It's now. And that's why you see all the craziness with the plandemic proved it's here. All the governments agreed to fabricate a lie to their citizens about a virus and a mask and a vaccine. And they all agreed, except five presidents refused to believe. When I made the video, only three refused to believe. Or two. I don't know. It's two or three refused to do as the Pope demanded. Even though people don't think it was the Pope, but there's a coin out there with the Pope, his image on it, from the Vatican with a vaccine, person getting a vaccine, just like they did with the chemtrails. They made a coin with the Pope's image on it, a Euro coin with the a map of the world and a plane going overhead with chemtrails coming out the back. They always do that as a way of force, showing, look, this is our power. The little peons, as they call us, that are in all the little countries and stuff like that, they can't stop us from doing any of this. We're putting this out before all you political leaders to show, yeah, this is our power. This is Vatican Rome. This is us forcing you, all of you. Think about it. Every time a U.S. president gets elected, what does he got to do? Regardless if it's one or two terms. If he's a two-term president, he has to meet with the Pope twice. Think about that. We're a sovereign nation. So we thought, why are our presidents meeting with the Pope? And so, I made the video, two or three presidents refused to do as the Pope demanded, all three were assassinated. So I made a video about it, and by the time I got done uploading the video, they killed two more. So five men were assassinated that refused, and that, of course, made the rest of them, I mean, think about it, even North Korea and Iran were wearing masks. Never before in history of mankind has every nation agreed to do something together. The one world government is here. And so, they passed that law on June 23rd in a global manner that is also, it has to be done that way. You know, it's a vaccine law. It's like a, they're going to turn all passports into digital vaccine identifications, of which without no travel will be allowed. Now think about it. If we're supposed to go someplace in a different country, let's say, because you could still travel domestically, but if we were going to some other country, I would think that the Lord would get us there just like he got Philip where he needed to be after he baptized the eunuch. Do a study on that. People would call that today teleportation. So anyway, if you subscribe to my blog, you may want to check the video I made called Global, or a video I didn't make this video, I'm sorry. It's on my most recent blog. I think it was this week. There's a video in the Signs of the Times section where it's called Global Digital Passports Enforced. And they're predicting it'll be done by the end of this year. That's just 5 months. Well, 4 months. If you think about it, yeah, because August is a couple days away. And then we also have the guillotines. They need to come out of mothballs, which, in fact, there's over 30,000 guillotines on our soil alone. It confirms we are much closer than most people believe. I did a radio broadcast about those guillotines back when I was on First Amendment Radio. And that was, you know, East Coast, AM and FM, and then Internet radio all at the same time. And I was on there for a couple of years and until I started realizing that they were censoring me. Because some of the people that listened to the radio station in Florida in the panhandle called me and says, oh, you're showing on anymore. And so I got out and that's when we started WTPR. And the rest is then his story. Not history, but his story. We're just doing as the Father leads. And so, but yeah, I did a radio broadcast on that. I never made a video about the guillotine thing, but somebody else did. And, you know, took my radio broadcast, and it's on YouTube now, where I'm the one talking, but I didn't make that video. So, but still, all of these had their foundation set in stone. And many have been locked down for decades, like the guillotine, for example, or the cashless society. Most nations, including the USA, have already set up to end the use of cash. But they were holding off until the digital dollars are locked down bank by bank. And that happens to be the case with all the big banks on July 30th, 2023. That's right, tomorrow. If you're in a big bank in the USA, you make a payment. Now it's digital. You don't have to wait 2 or 3 days for your payment to clear. Bam, it's instant. They take that money out of your account instantly, and they're testing with the big banks first. And it's legal. Tomorrow, it starts. I did a blog on this, I don't know, last year. But, yeah, it was definitely, it starts tomorrow. And so once they do that, all cash will be digitized not long after. They just got to get the bugs out of it. You know, make sure it's all locked down. They're doing it with the big banks first because the infrastructure is already there. And this is why, by the way, if you recall a couple, 3 years ago, all those bank presidents seem to be committing suicide by jumping off of buildings. Why are bank presidents jumping off buildings? No, they were being thrown because they refused to do what the government says, you got to do this now. And some of them refused to do it, and then they somehow dragged them upstairs and threw them off a roof. So, because they would threaten their families and all this other stuff. So, they claim, you know, with this digital cash thing that they're doing with the big banks starting tomorrow, they claim they're doing it to allow for a faster form of making payments, which is true. That's going to happen. But at the same time, it allows them much more control over the common man so as to force the decision regarding Sunday laws. If they agree, well, then they keep their cash in their bank account. If they disagree, all their cash is turned off. As a matter of fact, Dr. Mercola, who was an anti-vaxxer, had his accounts closed, all of them, just the other day. Because, you know, free speech doesn't happen in this country anymore. And that's why I made the free speech page. There can't be free speech if they're going to enforce the mark. Because the loud cry is going to make it so crystal clear to people that what we're saying is, it's going to be that easy for them to understand because the Lord is going to give us the words to share with them. It's going to be perfect utterance. And they know that. They're going to do the same thing the Pharisees tried to do in Acts chapter 5. And we're going to say, no, we're going to obey God rather than man. Well, they're going to shut down your website. Well, I still have lips and a tongue. I'm going to go out on the street now because that's what's going to happen. And you think, oh, you're going to be less affected. Really? How well did that work out in the midnight cry? That went global. And there was no internet back then, not even telephones. That went global. So, yeah. We have a God. There's a big difference. He's going to put us, he's going to be glorified. That's why we got to be more concerned with his glory than ours. We are that close. And so there are also a few good prophecies fulfilled, you know, like the latter rain, the loud cry, that allows, you know, the present truth as well as the gospel message to go global, causing the mass exodus of obedient Christians from the churches that have become Babylonian infections of Rome. And, yeah, I got a page all about that on, actually, I made a new website called, makehispathsstraight.com or .org. I don't do .com, but I just bought it so that someone else won't buy it. But yeah, it's .org. That's how I usually roll. But, I also have a page on Remnant Guy called Make His Path Straight. But, you know, the other one's just the main website. And so that's already, you know, we're good there. So what, and today, when it comes to this mass exodus, out of all the churches of the obedient Christians, that's 99.9% of all the churches they're going to come out of. Why do I say 99.9%? Because not all of them are 501c3. There are some going to come out of those too. But their leaders may be false prophets, you know, Matthew 24:11, so we don't know. But if they're in a 501c3 church, 100% of those churches are going to lose members because 100% of the 501c3 churches, which includes the SCA church, are not obedient Christian churches. The people of God are going to leave, as Matthew 18 verses 1 to 5 said they're going to leave, because those churches with the 501c3 are Roman Catholic churches. They're wandering after the beast. They're doing exactly as the Vatican says. They have created an image to the beast. They are a church and state conglomerate. They are right now. And it's going to get much worse, much, much, much worse in the coming days. Check out my Image of the Beast page, remnantofgod.org/image.htm. But sadly, some very intense prophecies will fulfill wherein the martyrdom has begun, but it will soon increase. Satan will appear claiming to be Jesus, performing miracles so as to keep billions in his clutches, as well as to pull back, you know, pull some back into his camp that left during the loud cry. Because not too long after the first phase of the mark is enforced, which is the buy and sell phase, the death decree bill will be passed, and that's plague one. That's when plague one starts. It's not going to be legal for them to kill us at that point, at plague one, because it can't you have to pass the bill, then enforce it later. The enforcement is called the 1 hour with the beast, the last 15 days of plague six. And so that's when they're going to surround us. It's also called Armageddon. They'll surround us and go to kill us, but not one of us can die because we're in that number, the 144,000. By that time, if you're alive when everybody else is getting the boils and you're a Sabbath keeper and you know the truth that we understand, yeah, you're part of the 144,000. In fact, the 144,000 are being selected right now. That's how close we are to the end. They are selected already. If I know our Father, as all of you know our Father, He's already picked the 144,000. We're just getting to a point where we're ready to receive that rain, the latter rain and all that. And so when that plague one begins and you stand there in front of a mirror and you don't have boils, but you are a Sabbath keeper and you do understand prophetic truth, you're part of that number. And then, of course, you just wait on plague six and then the last 15 days and then plague seven hits, which is the hail, 125-pound chunks of hail. And so, but there are many behind-the-scenes changes in the government as well as in the churches that also allow all that's needed to enforce the mark is upon us. But, and this is why I think they pushed the date back to 2028. This is the scuttlebutt, but it's not, they're not saying it out loud because they don't want to get egg on their face again, I guess, like they did with the Real ID. Real ID, I think it was, 2005? I got a page on it called ID, remnagon.org/ID.htm. And they said that it was going to start in 2005, then they changed it to 2010, and they changed it to 2021, I think it was. And they keep on putting it, pushing it off. And so, anyway. And I got one last question, and the only reason I want to share this one is because it's very recent. Someone asked me, it's going to be 5/12. Should Christians see the movie Freedom of Sound? And he goes, hey, brother, I have a question. Should a Christian go see Freedom of Sound? I heard a lot of people are telling me to go watch it. Should I go see it? Also, why is this movie becoming so politicized? Because it's a political movie to begin with. So I say, my brother, Hollywood is all about glorifying the enemy of souls. In fact, the actor, Jim Caviezel or whatever his name is, he's not a Christian, nor are any associated with Angel Studios, you know, like the people that do the Chosen, you know, those videos. And I think they also do the Jesus Revolution movie or whatever. So as far as I can see, they should rename that studio Fallen Angel Studios. But they're calling it Angel Studios because it's actually true. It is an angel that's running the things. They're just not saying he's fallen. And by the way, Jim Caviezel is the guy that played the part of Jesus Christ in the Vatican-promoted movie by Mel Gibson, Roman Catholic Mel Gibson, called, well, I like to call, I got a page on the website called about, I call it the Passion of the Antichrist, but it's called the Passion of Christ, if anybody remembers that. And it was years ago when they did that, and I put that video up on it because Mel Gibson, you know, was, and the guy's a drunk, he's racist, I mean, he's, some of the things he's done on camera without realizing he was on film is really strange. And so, but that Passion of the Christ was just a Roman Catholic commercial to uplift, and the majority, and this is what got me, and I heard that some Seventh-day Adventists watched it too. The majority of all the so-called Protestant pastors moved their flock to go see that movie. And I, you know, you can just go to remnagon.org/passion.htm. That's an old page. I don't know how long ago that was. So the reason it's so political is because Rome needs to catapult such things into the mainstream so as to confuse the masses into thinking what's being presented is wholesome and moral, and all of us need to get to take it seriously now. We got to start getting religious now. Religious laws need to come forward. We got to clean up our act, people. The planet's dying. Look at this. Oh, boo-hoo. And they're going to start doing that. They're not going to talk about anything else other than, you know, the climate change thing. So all the craziness in society where sin has become acceptable is an orchestrated attack on all of mankind so as to bring about the mindset that we all need to get right with God to fix things. I've been warning people for decades, as have many in the SDR movement, warning people for decades that the reason the political and church leaders have become so evil is because they need to move the people to get fed up. That way, when they can push a religious tone in politics so as to make it okay to enforce the long prophesied religious laws in society to supposedly please God, when society normalizes religious laws based on Catholicism, because that's what's going to happen, which I actually have quotes from the Vatican on my Words of the Beast page where the Vatican actually says that they're going to, the laws that they're going to have enforced in America are going to be based on Catholicism. And so when society normalized those religious laws based on Catholicism, which won't take long to do, this will then allow the one religious law we have been waiting for that most know is the mark of the beast. So that, it's a lot closer than we thought, which means the loud cry is a lot closer, as is that latter rain. And I hope and I pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. You're going to hear some music, and then we'll be back in a minute for prayer.